put those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM. In the car and at work, great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight. Every Friday, I try and bring in a person from our community or an organisation or promote an event that an organisation has had. And today, we've got the Armidale Post Office and Liam from the Armidale Folk Museum to help us with its history and 145 years in operation in Armidale. Welcome, Liam, back into 2ARM Studios.
Good morning, Herb. Thank you very much for having me.
So let's start this story in 1838, and that's 5 years prior to the Armidale Post Office being established. So what does 1838 tell us?
So that's actually the date that Australia generally introduced the prepaid stamped letters. It was revolutionary in terms of modernising for the time the post service, because of course at that point they didn't even have envelopes or stamps. So this was a way of physically earmarking all of the letters that would go through on the paper itself, which is really interesting, something that we don't often think about because envelopes and stamps are so ubiquitous with how post offices run these days. You can't think of a time that they didn't have that.
So 1840, then, we've had the first overland mail in Australia from Moreton Bay to Sydney, and it took 39 days.
39 days. So as I understand, it's still a reasonably long trip, but if you take it in a car these days, it's about a 10-hour drive rather than a one-month journey. But they, of course, they didn't have proper roads then, and before this was before the rail system even went up there.
So yeah, it would have been single horse and saddlebags.
Absolutely, which would have made for very rough journeys.
So 1843, we come to the Armidale Post Office was established. Who was the first postmaster?
So our first postmaster was a man by the name of John Patterson, and he lived in what was effectively just a house, which I'd love if your listeners could tell me where this post office was, because as I understand it, it actually wasn't on the site that the current post office sits on. But so he lived in this small building, he, his wife, and seven children all in one room that they also shared with the post office.
So he earned a 20% commission, I suppose, on sale of stamps and paraphernalia, letters and things, and a lighting allowance that today would be equivalent to $48.
Yes.
Letters were folded and sealed with wax, the old wax seal.
Mm-hmm.
Postage paid by the receiver, not the sender. That's quite strange.
Yes. So I think it would be a bit of a rude shock to have a letter show up on your door by the postman and they asked for a bill. It's not how we do things today.
Yes, very straight. And letters cost to Sydney 1 shilling and 3 pence.
It certainly did.
Which is equivalent to $7.80.
Yep, which is
quite a lot.
A huge amount of money. I think that planning to, or they have changed the cost of letters today to about $1.70. So it could be a lot worse.
Don't complain. $7.80 in 1843. So 1849, what did we get then?
So we've introduced the adhesive post stamp. They're not quite like the ones that we have today. They're not quite as easy. They were a gum substance that they could just pop on the outside of the letter itself, but it allowed for people to pay for it before it was sent. So they didn't have to get that bill at the other end.
The post office would have served a big role in the 1850s because we had the gold rush, Rocky River, Gera Gorge, Hillgrove.
Certainly. So a lot of big mining companies or even just individuals would have been doing a lot of communications from this region back to Sydney or to Brisbane at this point. So it would have been absolutely vital to be able to communicate via post at that point.
And we can't forget that the rollout of the telegraph service across Australia began in the mid-1850s, and that post offices across the country began to offer that second method of communications to their local communities. So there was an MP in 1864, Robert Foster. What did he do?
So he was speaking reasonably generally about the conditions of postmasters in Australia at the time, but it was very much the experience here, as I mentioned earlier, about the man and his wife and seven children. So it was his business to provide more funding and to provide better circumstances and services to the community through the post office.
And that was, to get better conditions for people. But we got the first dedicated post office building was being constructed in 1865.
So around 20 years after the first service. service actually started. They had a proper dedicated space that was used for the post.
So 1865, first dedicated post office building was constructed in Armidale. So we started off in 1843 with basically the first post office, but the building was then in 1865.
And so this wasn't the beautiful building that we have today. This was simply dedicated space for the postman, postmaster to actually do their work from.
Do we know where it was located?
I'm not sure. I would love to hear from any locals if they happen to know. But yes, that original site is a mystery to me. Everywhere that I've done any research, they all say it was just built on another site, which is very vague.
So we've got two things to find out from our community. Where was the first post office established? Like, where was the house that John Patterson, the first postmaster, was working out of with his, how many children? Seven?
Seven children.
Seven children and a wife. So there are nine people in one house. And then we need to know where the first dedicated post office building was constructed, because it was it must have moved from his house after MP Robert Foster highlighted the poor living conditions of that postmaster and many others. Mm-hmm. Then another thing was built.
Yes.
Obviously they operated there. But it then took to 1880 for the new post office building to be completed at Beardy and Faulkner Street, where it is today.
That's our building as you would know and love today on that corner there. So it's been there ever since 1880.
So designed by the New South Wales colonial architect, James Barnett, and he was a prolific architect at the time in the 1880s.
He certainly was prolific. He personally, as I understand it, designed 1,000 buildings of various uses around country, but specifically things like police lockups, police stations, he even designed a couple of lighthouses, and that on top of a number of post offices too.
The post office served as both the post office, the building we have today, and as residence for the new postmaster, who was John Emblin. His family. Would they have lived upstairs, do you think?
Yeah, I suspect that it was post floor down the bottom, and then there was a residence up the top, I suspect.
So then we jump to 1889. The second Daily Mail delivery was introduced, and that aligned with Queensland Mail train that was coming down the rail line to Armidale.
Yes, and I think this is probably one of the big moments, and it shows how important Armidale was on that Sydney to Brisbane route. So much mail would have come through Armidale in those days, because that was really the only way to bridge that gap between Queensland and New South Wales, which is bizarre to think about how important we were as a little way stop. It's pretty cool.
So I suppose we're still talking about a world where the mail was such a primary communication device. We probably had early newspapers and things like that, but we bring the world together. The only way you could communicate is
by mail. Post. And you got to remember at this point as well, this is pre-1900, pre-Federation, so it was actually communication between two completely separate colonies, which is fascinating.
And also by the 1890s, telegraph, of course, had found its way to Armidale, and those telegraph office functions were combined within the post office and moved into the Armidale Post Office building, further cementing the importance of the post office, now providing mail service and telegraph service. In 1897, Walter Liberty Vernon added Federation Queen Anne elements, including the distinctive logo, introduced Federation style.
Yeah, so this is when the building would have become very familiar to people today. That really brilliantly designed colonnaded walkway out the front of the building was much smaller than it is today, kind of half the length, but it was such a key architectural style at that point, that Federation, which is when a lot of the buildings in Armidale would have started to see very similar sorts of designing.
I just wondered just offhand whether they were in preparation for Federation Day, you know, like
this is
doing the architecture in preparation for the big event when Australia became a federation.
Yeah, it would have all been in the works, so I'd be shocked if they weren't beautifying the country in preparation for it. There were, as I understand it, there were lots of federation celebrations held around the country. So yeah, I would be shocked if it wasn't at all related.
So then we jump to post-Federation, 1917. George Oakeshott, responsible for the alterations to the building from 1917 to 1929.
Yeah, so that's when you can, if you find old photographs of the building, can see that change from the small walkway into the much bigger one that we have now. So they were building, banding, preparing for volume increases, I suspect. But yes, it was over those, that 1917 and 1929, that more or less they made the building bigger.
And I suppose then we jump, there's a bit of a jump there with the actual building. 1938, and then from 79 to 1980, there was sort of unspecified modifications, yeah, just to
look up to modern standards.
Modern standards. Yep. I don't know when the walkway went in, the disabled walkway, maybe later.
Possibly around that time, particularly the 80s, that's when they would have really been focusing on that sort of...
Yeah, 18 to 2000. We should also note here that the telegraph service, which was part of the Armidale Post Office, operated from the 1890s. But from about the mid-1950s, this service declined sharply through direct competition with the expanding telephone network. Now we go into 2000s, we've got the internal commercial fit out, so the post office has become more a commercial hub. Mm-hmm. They sell a lot of things, but they also sell non-related to post things today.
Yes.
But also a lot of all your envelopes, all your different mm-hmm. styling of envelopes, whether yep. it's express, mm-hmm. whether it's priority paid, yep. whether it's prepaid, whether you want recycled packaging,
yes.
whether you want plastic, whatever, whatever, whatever. So there's a lot of change that's gone on since 1838, when we first had it in Australia. Then 1843 was... Mm-hmm. So there's been a long time, 145 years. But today, what's the role of the post office or the post service?
The post service. I think it's almost more important than it's ever been, I feel. Of course, letters are not quite the business of the day these days. Packages and parcels seem to be king. But particularly in small regional places, the post office it's a meeting spot. It's the post office itself, but it wears lots of different hats, and it's actually as vital, I feel, as it's ever been.
Yes, the post office does wear many hats, which encompasses the regular core service, including letters, cards and parcels, retail merchandise, things like stamps and packaging. You've also got financial services like bank at post, bill payments for various bills, and travel money services, delivery notifications and updates. So it also offers localised service updates, allows you to manage your deliveries. A lot of those services are offered online. Tracking of parcels and posted items, calculating postage costs. Yes, it's very diverse now and obviously very important to our community. So we did miss a point. The 28th of April 1970 hosted the royal visit.
Absolutely.
Of Queen Elizabeth II and her family to Armidale.
Certainly, yep. So she visited the post office, visited the mall. Pretty illustrious thing for little Armidale to get. But yeah, very, very impressive. And I'd love to hear what her thoughts about it were.
Bit late, Liam.
Bit late, unfortunately.
I'll ask her when I go there.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'll be in the same field as that. And it also played a critical role during the wars, the gold rush we talked about, supporting local families, mm-hmm. students, migrants.
Yes,
sort of
lots of people have moved
coming to university,
yes.
Send a letter home.
Absolutely.
This is what's going on. Early settlers, soldiers. Mm-hmm. And you did mention that it has changed a lot. So technology, improvement of technology, the internet.
Yes.
So we can communicate with somebody wherever in the world.
Easily.
Easily
in
within
seconds.
A second, you know, instead of sending a mail.
Yep.
So as you said, the mail service has reduced, but then other things have taken their place. So
yes.
with the rise of the internet, mm-hmm. eBay, Temu, all those
yes.
packaging services are now, instead of buying it from a catalogue that you used to do at Richardson's or at some of the hardware places,
mm-hmm. LW
you Burgess,
want.
You just go onto the internet, put it in your cart, pay for it, mm-hmm. and it's posted out.
Yes.
Nine times out of ten, my stuff comes through the post.
Yeah, it has to. It's mostly Australia Post. I read a statistic before, and it was saying that over Christmas last year, there were 100 million packages that were transported by AusPost around the country, which I think shows still how vital that this service is. I guess lots of Christmas gifts, but fabulous to get that sort of service from the post office today.
Yeah, so let's go back. No, 1843, so that was just 4 years after town was founded.
Yes, so I think that really shows how critical it was to be able to get mail up here. If one of the first things that happened when the place was settled is mail service.
145 years on the 21st of May. It's really served a fantastic role, I suppose. And as we just said, 4 years after Armidale was established, we had our post service. And it's been with us the whole time, changing in different forms, both the physical form of the building, but also the service it provides and the importance at the time, whatever was happening, whether it was the gold or whether it was a war, the First and Second World Wars, into Vietnam, every other conflict that Australian forces have been at. But also being a university town or a town of education since 1928 with a teachers' college, then the university established in 1938. The Armidale Postal Service would and still does serve an important role within our community. Students and staff coming to study for a number of years, sending and receiving letters from home, with also the ability to send a telegraph to loved ones. To be able to just keep in touch with loved ones while they studied served an important purpose. So, to Armidale Post Office, we at 2ARM FM wish you a happy 145th anniversary on the 21st of May 2025. We thank your many staff over the years and wish you well for another 145. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you for coming in to Spotlight.
Absolute pleasure.
And that's Community Spotlight.
If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.